Hi everyone, welcome back to the Daily Gospel Exegesis Podcast, which is produced by the Logical Bible Study Ministry. Thank you so much for your support of the ministry, and if you're new to this podcast, it's a Catholic podcast where every day we take a verse-by-verse look at the Gospel reading from today's Mass. So we're doing an exegesis of Scripture, trying to give you the tools to help you understand the text in its original context. Why did Jesus use certain words? What was he trying to get at? So this is called looking at the literal sense of Scripture, and that's what this podcast is all about, purely looking at the text of Scripture. Today, if you go to Mass, you would hear from Luke chapter 11, verses 37 to 41. So here's the text. Jesus had just finished speaking when a Pharisee invited him to dine at his house. He went in and sat down at the table. The Pharisee saw this and was surprised that he had not first washed before the meal. But the Lord said to him, "O you Pharisees, you clean the outside of cup and plate, while inside yourselves are filled with extortion and wickedness. Fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside too? Instead, give alms from what you have, and then indeed everything will be clean for you." So the text we're looking at today, Luke's version of this story, is placed in a different context than Matthew and Mark's version. So it looks like Luke has chosen to take out several important parts of the conversation and some of the surrounding context, and perhaps Luke has deliberately placed it in a different point in Jesus' ministry. It's not entirely clear why Luke has done this, and scholars debate it, so this is certainly a debated text in terms of why Luke has placed it where he has, because Matthew and Mark's version match up pretty closely with each other, but Luke's version of this story seems a little different in some ways. But of course, it's clearly the same story, it's just being told in a bit of a different way. So what's the context here? Jesus is moving from Galilee to Judea for the final phase of his ministry. He's just been speaking to the crowds and the Pharisees. Verse 37 says, Jesus had just finished speaking, or more literally, while he was speaking. So he's literally just finished talking to the Pharisees about how the eye is the lamp of the body. And that text is never actually read in the Mass, never on a weekday, never on a Sunday. So if you want to hear that previous text, we'll cover it as a bonus episode of the podcast. So you can check out the Patreon page in the show notes if you're interested in that. So Jesus has just been speaking to the Pharisees, and now a Pharisee invites him to dine at his house. So who were the Pharisees? Most of you would know this already. The Pharisees are the Jewish leaders of the common men at that time. They believed that the way to God was by strict observance of the Jewish law. And they taught the Jews how they could meet the demands of God's law. So they had a teaching authority to help the Jews understand the Old Testament. And the Pharisees often had quite complex systems of law that they imposed on the Jews. Now, this Pharisee is possibly one from Jerusalem. The other Gospels seem to indicate that the Pharisees that are present with him at this point are from Jerusalem. And this one invites him to dine at his house. It's interesting, there's a Pharisee inviting Jesus to his house. This actually happens three times in the Gospel of Luke. So it happens once in chapter 7, verse 36, and that's when the woman washes his feet with her tears. And then chapter 14, verse 1. There's three times when Jesus dines with Pharisees. This is the second time. So Jesus goes into the man's house and sat down at the table. Now, even that is pretty remarkable. Often you might hear people say that Jesus wanted nothing to do with the Pharisees. But here, he's accepted the dinner invitation to go and eat at this Pharisee's house. And it says here he sat down at the table. He's probably in the reclining position. That's how they would have eaten at table in that culture. Verse 38 says, the Pharisee saw this and was surprised that he had not first washed before the meal. More literally there, it says astonished. The Pharisee is astonished that Jesus had not washed before the meal. Now, in Matthew and Mark's version, it's actually Jesus' disciples who are accused of not washing their hands. It's not Jesus himself. But apparently, from Luke's version, it is also Jesus who is choosing not to wash his hands in the customary Jewish way. Now, what is this hand washing that he's talking about? Well, one of the traditions of the elders in that time, so one of the things the Pharisees taught, was that before eating meals, Jews had to wash their hands properly. And this was not a hygienic thing. It was a ritual purity thing. And the fact that the Pharisees taught this, this was actually part of their legitimate teaching authority. The Pharisees, if we understand the New Testament correctly, the Pharisees did have legitimate authority to make binding practices on the Jews. And this is one of them. They said all Jews must follow these ritual washings. It's not actually commanded in the Old Testament. It's one of the things the Pharisees had added to the Old Testament as part of trying to help the Jews achieve holiness before God. And what it says here in Mark's version is that they do not wash their hands before they eat. And we see this in Mark chapter 7, verse 3 to 5. If you want to see it broken down a bit more, Mark actually spells out how the ritual washings work. So it involves two components. Firstly, Jews were not supposed to eat without washing their arms as far as the elbow first. So they have to make their hands ritually clean. And secondly, if they return from the marketplace, they have to first sprinkle themselves with water to wash away any ritual impurities they acquired from the marketplace. So both of these reasons have to do with ritual purity. Now, there is an Old Testament basis for this practice of washing before meals, but if you look at Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 to 21, and there's some verses in Numbers as well, where the ritual washings are commanded, it's actually only for priests. So in the Old Testament, only priests were expected to do this kind of ritual washing, not the common Jew. But over time, the Jewish oral tradition and the legitimate teaching authority of the Pharisees had bound all Jews to do this ritual washing. Because remember, the Pharisees want Jews to become pure. They want them to be pure in God's sight. So they told the common Jewish man that they need to strive to be as ritually pure as the priests are. So they need to do the ritual washings. So apparently, some of Jesus' disciples were choosing not to do this. And here, Jesus apparently chooses not to do this washing as well. Now here, Jesus doesn't actually get into the question of whether it's an appropriate law or not. He doesn't get into a debate about this specific law. So it's quite possible that he actually did think it was a legitimate binding law because the Pharisees did have teaching authority. Even if the Pharisees are theologically mistaken, it's possible for the Pharisees to be wrong about something, but still for their teaching to be binding on people just because of their teaching office. But Jesus doesn't really enter into that debate in this case. Instead, what he does is he directs the Pharisees' attention back to something more fundamental that the Pharisee has missed. He takes them to a deeper level. And in this case, Jesus perceives that the Pharisees are more concerned with their own systems rather than actually fulfilling the will of God. And Jesus sees that as the deep problem that needs to be addressed here. So in verse 39, Luke says, "The Lord..." Now, even that is interesting. Luke refers to Jesus as the Lord. That was a common phrase used by the early Christians to designate Jesus. If you look at the rest of the New Testament, particularly the book of Acts, Jesus is called the Lord. Interestingly, in that culture, though, the word the Lord usually referred to God. And so when Luke calls Jesus the Lord, he might be deliberately intending to teach that Jesus is God. And he does this in several places, actually. So here Luke says, "The Lord said, O you Pharisees." So Jesus is going to use the Pharisees' objection to his refusal to wash his hands as a teaching opportunity. And here's what he says to them. "You clean the outside of cup and plate, while inside yourselves are filled with extortion and wickedness." There's a bit to say about this. So here Jesus says, the Pharisees clean the outside of cup and plate. He gives that phrase, cup and plate, a double meaning here. Firstly, the Pharisees did have complex laws about how to purify eating utensils. If you look at Mark chapter 7, it talks a bit about that. But Jesus also uses the phrase cup and plate as a metaphor for the Pharisees' own bodies. So when he says, "You clean the outside of cup and plate," he means you clean cups and plates and also you clean yourselves externally. We know that the Pharisees did go to great lengths to purify their bodies externally, but here Jesus says the issue is internally, their hearts, and really the heart is the seat of the will and morals, their hearts are not purified. So although they're externally purified, they're internally not purified. So the Pharisees end up being full of sin and malice because they haven't taken the time to evaluate their heart and see if it's in line with God's will. So the Pharisees are meticulous and rigorous about external holiness, but they have neglected interior holiness. And Jesus says that's a problem. In verse 40, he goes on and says, "Fools, Now, that's a pretty harsh denunciation. That term fool is often applied to the wicked in the Old Testament. If you look at Psalm 94, verse 8, the wicked are called fools. He says, "Fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside too?" This is one of my favorite verses in the Gospels. "Did not he who made the outside make the inside too?" So the Pharisees were quite good at the external aspects of holiness. They were actually very good at doing it. But they had forgotten in the time of Jesus that God makes the soul as well. They had neglected to think about the soul and the heart. And really what that means is the Pharisees knew that God wants external purity, but they had forgotten that he desires purity of soul, more importantly. That was actually the whole purpose of the Old Testament law. It's actually written several times in the Old Testament that God wants internal righteousness, not just external righteousness. So in Deuteronomy 10, verse 16, God says, "Circumcise your heart." That's right there in the first five books of the Bible. And then in Ezekiel 36, verse 17, Ezekiel says that immoral actions cause impurity. So it is a teaching of the Old Testament that righteousness is more about internal actions and your will rather than external holiness. But the Pharisees had kind of forgotten those passages. The external requirements of the Old Testament law were supposed to remind the Jews of the requirement for internal holiness. So circumcision was supposed to be a sign that pointed them towards internal righteousness. But instead, the Pharisees had basically made the law all about following the externals, and they had forgotten God's requirement for internal righteousness. This is one of the fundamental problems of the Pharisees, and that's why Jesus takes issue with them. Not because they have all these laws, and not because they practice the external laws, it's because they had forgotten the internal laws, which were more important. And I think this verse here, "Did not he who made the outside make the inside too?" That speaks to our culture today in some ways. I think some people in our culture in 21st century Western society, they kind of glorify the body a bit. Now, obviously, that's not what Jesus had in mind on the literal sense of the text. That's certainly true. But I think there's still an application here. If we forget, if we spend so much time thinking about what we do with the externals of our body and we forget about our souls and our hearts, then Jesus has some strong words for us. Verse 41, here's the advice he gives to the Pharisees. "Instead, give alms from what you have." Now, it's a strange sort of verse. If you look at it more literally, a lot of other translations say it says, "but give alms for those things or from those things that are within." What does that mean? Give alms from those things that are within. It seems to mean that Jesus is encouraging to give alms based on love within their hearts. So Jesus is saying that as a way of expressing the genuine commitment they have to God and that their wills line up with God, they need to give alms. So they need to use the internal righteousness as a motivation to do giving alms to the poor. That seems to be what he means, although scholars debate exactly how to understand that phrase. Give alms for those things that are within. Basically, what giving alms means is giving money to the poor. There's a long Old Testament tradition of giving alms as a way of pleasing God. So particularly Tobit, chapter 12, verse 9, that's in Catholic Bibles, but not in a lot of other Christian Bibles. So Tobit 12, verse 9 says, "Almsgiving saves from death and purges all sin." So there's this very strong tradition at the time of Jesus that almsgiving brings about internal righteousness. And Jesus clearly sees giving alms as a key aspect of loving others and doing God's will. So Jesus says, if you give alms with the right motivation, it will purify you from sin and bring about internal righteousness. Jesus is going to emphasize giving alms again in chapter 12, verse 33. Jesus says, "Give alms from what you have, and then indeed everything will be clean for you." Matthew's version of this phrase is, "Clean the inside of cup and dish first, so that the outside may become clean as well." And so perhaps here it's not so much about giving alms exactly, although it could be. Maybe it's more about cleaning yourself up internally in a general sort of sense. But certainly, either way, the teaching here is that God does desire external holiness. We know that from other things Jesus says, like he says, these you should have practiced without neglecting the others, right? He says that in Matthew's gospel. So God does desire external holiness, but God is more concerned with interior holiness. That's Jesus' teaching here. So doing the externals without the internals is not pleasing to God. On the other hand, practicing internal righteousness and obeying God's will, in terms of loving people and loving God, that's going to make the external rituals more pleasing to God. That's something the Jewish leaders had forgotten. So as a result, they were leading people astray. So if we take Jesus here to mean that he wants them to literally give alms as a way of purifying themselves internally, Jesus' teaching here is that if a person gives alms to the poor, they will be doing God's will, and therefore they'll be practicing true righteousness. That seems to be the overall meaning here. This is a key verse because it teaches us that Jesus' view, and in fact the view of the church, is that some aspects of God's law are more important than others. So the requirement to fulfill the two love commandments, love God and love your neighbor, those more closely correspond to God's will than some of the other laws in the Old Testament. That's something we discuss in our exegesis of Matthew's gospel. So Jesus here teaches that if we fulfill other external laws, but we neglect to fulfill the two love commandments, we're not really holy. We do not have true righteousness. And so Jesus here puts himself in a line of long Old Testament prophets who make exactly the same point. If you want to please God, you need to practice love of God and love of neighbor. Otherwise, it's not true righteousness. Jesus has more to say to the Pharisees in the coming verses, and we'll look at that in the coming days. He actually uses quite strong language in some of the next few verses. So hopefully you found that exegesis a little bit helpful. There are some verses in there that are a bit hard to translate. It's not really clear what the meaning is, but hopefully you found that to be a useful starting point. Let's now quickly look at the Catechism to see what the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that we can learn from today's passage in Luke 11. Firstly, paragraph 588, there's a brief reference here. It says, Jesus scandalized the Pharisees by eating with tax collectors and sinners as familiarly with themselves. So the Catechism here summarizes various parts of the Gospels, and it says that Jesus was equally happy to be with the Pharisees in their homes as he was with tax collectors and sinners, and that is certainly true. Paragraph 2447, this is about loving the poor. The works of mercy are charitable actions by which we come to the aid of our neighbor in his spiritual and bodily necessities. Instructing, advising, consoling, comforting are spiritual works of mercy, as are forgiving and bearing wrongs patiently. The corporal works of mercy consist in feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and imprisoned, and burying the dead. Among all these, giving alms to the poor is one of the chief witnesses to fraternal charity. It is a work of justice pleasing to God. So not only does Jesus teach that giving alms is a way of pleasing God, the Catholic Church teaches it as well. If we want to be serious about pleasing God and loving others, then giving alms to the poor must be a part of that. That is the Church's teaching. We'll leave it there for today. I hope you learned something new. If you have, please share this podcast around with others, and we'll continue to look at Luke in the coming days.